Do you ever fantasize about disappearing, really disappearing? No emails can find you, no unwelcome visits from old acquaintances, no bill collectors, no SWAT teams kicking down your door. Wait, what? That's what happened to Jameson Lopp when he was swatted. Someone called the police with a false claim about a shooting and hostage taking at his home. It took some tense minutes to straighten it out. Then whoever made that fake 911 call called Jameson to say, expect more of the same unless you pay a ransom in Bitcoin. He works for a Bitcoin security company, so not a stretch there, but he's a libertarian who values personal privacy above just about all, and he set about erasing any trace of himself. So, obviously, we couldn't find him, but from the shadows, he reached out to New York Times security and technology writer Nathaniel Popper, whose piece is How a Bitcoin Evangelist Made Himself Vanish in 15 Not-So-Easy Steps. Nathaniel, we found in his not-so-secret office in San Francisco. Nathaniel Popper, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You know, first where the story starts with the swatting, this is serious. We remember when a gamer called in a prank 911 call on another player. The responding SWAT team shot and killed an innocent man. So, you know, serious stuff. But other people might want to just get away from it all, and he did. Yeah.
The reason sort of Jameson's story is so interesting, it's an experiment in what it takes to disappear. Just how many points of contact we have where there's somebody who can sort of snoop on us and figure out where we are.
Let's preface by saying we hope we're not giving any, you know, really bad guys information about how they can disappear, but it's right there, you know, all over the internet as well. So let's start to do it. And first of all, is the way he contacted you. He called you, you know, wants other people to have this information, but he called you on a burner phone.
Yes, probably not too surprising to most people. Our phone is one of the easiest ways in which we can be tracked by the most number of people. And, you know, our phone number is so indelibly linked to our name, our identity. And so one of the things he did soon after the attack was get rid of that old phone, get rid of that old phone number, buy a new one that was not tied to him.
We'll explain how he did that in a minute. But he also got these throwaway phone numbers. You know, I know a lot of young people using these. What is this burner phone?
Yeah, there are a couple steps to it. One is having a sort of core phone number that is not linked to your name. But then on top of that, you can create these sort of proxy phone numbers to make a single phone call so that you're doubly removed from the people who are calling you.
As he told you, it costs just a few dollars and then you delete it and it's gone. And just staying with phones for a second, he says, stop using the phone for directions.
Yeah. When I go around, I use Google Maps. And of course, what that gives Google is a precise pinpointed information on where I am. Oftentimes, those apps are actually able to track us even when we're not using them for directions. You know, as we've learned, I think, in the last year with Cambridge Analytica scandals and so forth, even other apps that aren't the one that are giving you directions can sometimes tap into that information to get that data on where we're traveling over the course of a day.
So use a dedicated GPS device that isn't otherwise, you know, tied to him. But you also talked about him getting a phone that's not tied to him. And this all has to do with the number one thing he said to do, which is create a new corporate identity. Talk about that.
Again, this is probably not a step that most ordinary people are going to take, but it's sort of an interesting thought experiment. Over the course of the day, we all are requested to fill out innumerable forms when we order something online, when we sign up for a new service, when the HVAC guy comes to look at the furnace. You know, we're constantly writing down our name and our address. And so the first thing he needed to do was find something to put into all those forms so that he didn't have to put his own name and his own address. And the sort of obvious, I think maybe the obvious step was to create a corporate identity so that he could put that corporation in. And Jameson went one step further, which is that most corporations, you know, if you go to the state, you can find out who that corporation is registered to. And so what he realized he needed to do was go to states, and there are three states where you don't have to list the owner of the corporation. So you can have a sort of nameless corporation that becomes your new identity.
That's Nevada, Wyoming, and New Mexico for people taking notes. you do not have to have your name linked to the corporation. And once you have the corporation, then you can make everything tied to that. It doesn't necessarily have to be in your name. So the phone number, right, can be tied to the corporation. What about credit cards and bank accounts?
Some of the most personally identifiable information. You know, if you see my credit card account, you're going to know everywhere I shopped today, everywhere I walked, where I went to lunch. So he wanted to detach that from him. Now, most corporate credit cards are going to still have the name of the holder on it. He found some services that will only list the company name. And that can be a problem. Not all stores are going to let you use a credit card that doesn't have your name on it. And so he, at the same time, prepaid debit cards, which are essentially walking around with cash. And then he also just kept lots of cash in his pocket.
But I'm thinking, you know, he set up more than a few corporations just in case, as you write, an adversary figured out he was behind one. I'm trying to think, what is this guy running from? But anyway, here's how far he goes. First of all, he has to buy a new house because a SWAT team knows where his other house is.
They
knock down the door when whoever this adversary is called in swatted him. So he buys a new house, but he also does that with a cashier's check from his LLC bank account, pays for the house. So that's okay, that's good. Creates a new phony name for the neighbors, which he kind of gets used to, just so they don't know his real name. But then comes a problem. He gets a car and he says, buy a boring car. That's advice that he makes if you want to disappear. Buys the boring car. Again, the LLC, the corporation, signs the papers. All great. But then he has to get a license. And it's the one place where you can't use a phony name. So he buys another house, just a stupid, really cheap, falling down house, to get an address?
Yeah, that was the sort of most remarkable step he took. And I think sort of interesting insight that it's sort of the DMV. If you want to drive and you want to be on good terms with the DMV, that's the one place where you need to give them a real address. So he said, I'm not going to give them my real address. I'm going to find some, you know, crappy little apartment, the sort of cheapest, most rundown place he could find that still had a street address. And that's what he gave to the DMV.
And a physical mailbox, in case you need a mailbox, although he recommends setting up a private mailbox, a remailing service, somebody who takes mail in for you and then remails it. I mean, just this is just really kind of wacky. But I'm sure people are thinking, the internet. You know, he works in Bitcoin security. He would work remotely, so he never had to go in to work with his colleagues. And enter a VPN service for home internet use. What is that?
VPN is a virtual privacy network. And this is actually something that a lot of people do today. They want to detach themselves from their IP address because they don't want marketers to be able to tell what they're doing online. They also don't want the government. You know, this is something that Chinese dissidents who want to access the full internet, they all need to be using VPNs. And so he created this VPN that was his entire house so that all of the traffic coming out of his house was obscured, looked like it was coming from an address somewhere else.
Well, I mean, he also does things the old-fashioned way. He says, master the art of disguise, get rid of a big beard that he had, give a hat and sunglasses, just try to blend into the crowd. But also, hire a private investigator to try to find you. And if they can't, you've succeeded.
Yeah, that was the final sort of fail-safe was pay people who are good at this to try to find you and see if they can do it. And they did indeed. These private investigators he hired sort of found some holes in his system and helped him patch them up. And to Jameson, this is actually an ongoing experiment. He's continuing to go back every 6 months and seeing, you know, am I leaking information somewhere that I wasn't aware?
Boy, it's quite something. We'll link people at herenow.org to Nathaniel Popper's article in the New York Times about Jameson Lopps, the man who just erased himself. Nathaniel, listen, it's just us. So where is he?
I don't know. He said, I used to live in North Carolina. That much is known. He said, I may still live in North Carolina, but you're not going to find out. And there were a couple other things that he was coy about. He's sort of remarkably open given what he's involved in with all of this, but there were certain details he was going to be keeping to himself.
Well, Nathaniel Popper, if that's really your name, thank you for telling us about it. Thank you.
I'll be throwing away this phone number in just a few minutes.
And by the way, Jameson Lopp told Nathaniel it cost him about $30,000 all told to erase himself.